ladies and gentlemen, this is the Above the Bar podcast, a show about a middle-aged father, current events, and how these things affect my everyday life. Alrighty, folks, welcome to another episode of the Above the Bar podcast. It's your host, Sean. We've bellied up to the bar today, getting everything situated. It's our, I think I figured it out the other day, it's like our 53rd episode or something like that. So we've, I can't say we've been doing it a year, but we're getting closer and closer every day there, folks. June will, at some point in June, my wife will tell me what it is. It's been a year, but bellying up to the bar with us today is Patrick. I love that you use your middle initial because I'm a middle initial guy also. Patrick W, not Bush, but Cutler. Patrick, what's going on, brother?
Hey, not too much, man. I'm just down here in my studio here, just working on this horror film, just go nuts every single day with it.
So for those of you that are not watching the live version of this, and as we always say, take a moment, folks, if you're out there listening, start getting on there, share the living daylights out of it. Our goal is always to share it so much that you get banned from all your favorite Facebook yard sale spots. That's always the goal. For those of you that can't see, Patrick's basement looks like an episode out of one of those Netflix serial killer shows where it's like, all of a sudden, the detectives come down and they're like, this house has been abandoned for the last 15 years. He's got like the drop ceiling and the lights. So I'm just waiting for someone to bum rush the camera in a moment here going, please save us. I don't mean to be down here. Save me. Back off, cat. So it's bad. Like, you guys have to see this. So we've got Patrick. We're going to be talking horror movies. I enjoy a good horror film. I have the genre that I think I have. We all have this. I have the genre I like in horror movies and the genre that, like, I'm not watching this. You can't make me watch this. This scares my bejeebers out. But before we get too far into that, as we all know, our one big thing is sticker and a cause. I like my sticker and a cause. I'm a big fan of this. So one of our prior guests, Tim Miller, Tim was on a while back. He was on with us. We did it's been almost a month since we've had him on here. And just the other day, he surprised us with a gift. Make sure you go and you check out Tim Miller Comedy on Facebook. For those of you that aren't watching, it's a picture of Tim, a cartoon, and it says Laugh Tub with Tim Miller. And it's kind of scary because it's Tim naked in a bathtub. And his hand, he's only got one hand in the tub and one hand out. So I don't know where the loofah is, so we'll just go with that. So we're going to put that one up, and he sent another one that, how great is this? Instead of, you know, where we all want to be mad at each other with, you know, stealing old candidates' ideas with the Make America Great and all that, he has a better one. It's Make America Magic Again, because he's a big fan of, like, stage magic and street magic. So Make America Magic Again. I love it. So we're going to get those up. See, I do this every time. On the clock, over my shoulder. Everything's reversed and I do it wrong every time. So we're going to get that up. So as I always say, folks, if you have your own cause, your own thing, you send me a sticker. I will put that sticker up on here and I will tell everyone about whatever your cause is so that they can be involved. So now the housekeeping is done. All the important things are over. Let's talk horror movies and your movie in particular. Patrick, movie.
Yeah, so Red Gate, it's kind of an interesting movie. It's based on a lot of true stories that happened in this outside the small Montana town. So if you can kind of imagine a small town in Montana, Western Montana, has a valley and everything, these big mountains, and some crazy things go on outside the town and rumors and all these different things happen. And that's kind of the backbone of it. It's kind of a film noir type film, but it never quite states exactly what's happening or anything, but it's about essentially these Let's see, it's been, I've been shooting for so long, I forget how many people in the cast. I think.
Now, wait a second. Are you in Montana?
Yeah, I'm in Montana.
Well, then you got to go find Tim Miller. He's in Missoula.
Oh, is he? Oh,
he's in Missoula.
Wow.
So now, look at that. I'm getting big in Montana. Y'all didn't know that shit. I was trying to get big in Kenya. He's big in Montana.
That's like an hour down the road. I could either. I'm probably driving that. My kids kind of live down. I'm kind of divorced right now, so my kids live over there.
What do you mean you're kind of divorced?
Actually, I'm full.
Like what the hell is kind of divorced? I'm on my third marriage. It's either you are or you aren't.
Yeah, I'm divorced.
That shit's only on TV where they're like, "Honey," like they comes in. Have you ever seen that shit? Did you watch the new Punky Brewster show? How old are you?
No, I'm 37. I didn't see the new Punky Brewster.
So there's a new Punky Brewster show. Also, as we all know, it is Telemar due time. there's a new Punky Brewster show, and the guy who plays her husband, like her ex-husband, like just comes in the house. He's like making breakfast for the kids and shit. I'm like, look, not on God's green earth of that ever happening with me and my ex-wife. There's no like, oh, let me just stop by and make breakfast for the kids. We'll just be so happy. Like that's not, it's not.
A thing. It's, I'm fortunately I'm somewhat of a peaceful one. I've heard some horror stories from other people though. So fortunately mine's not too bad. I kind of just paid her off enough money per month that she kind of leaves me alone. So it's cool.
So now this isn't your first film either. I want to talk about that first. So this is what, your fourth?
This would be actually, let's see, we got Mad Dad. I think this is my fifth Mad Dad, Cartman City Project. I think, yeah, this is actually my fifth film.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm just preparing you for your Oscar speech.
Yeah. I'm hopefully this is the best one so far. You know, you hope you get better as you go on.
Right. So, and now are they all horror films? Cause I thought the one is like more of like a comedy, right?
No, this is, they've all been different genres of comedy so far. But, so it kind of started back, I mean, years ago, we were kind of, I was graduating high school basically, and we wanted to do a horror film back in 2003. So we went up the mountains and we tried doing it, and it was our first real attempt, me and my brother Kelly, our first real attempt at a full length feature film. And it was a freaking disaster. So we were like, okay, no more horror films. We're just going to focus on comedy because that's what we like to do. So we did all these comedy films. And then, man, we just sat around year after year. I was like, man, we both really want to do a horror film again. Let's try this one more time 20 years later.
So Redgate Films is based on like experiences you've had, or are they like, yeah, like this really went down, or is this like the urban legend?
So part of it's urban legend, and part of it's based on true like murders and things that have happened in this town. The urban legend part about it is there's an actual story in town called Redgate, where back in the day there used to be this little tiny mining town just up in the hills, like way up in the hills, where there's barely any roads, and they had a schoolhouse and all these different things. And what happened was, this guy had like a little farmland or whatever, and he went off to work one day, and then he came home and killed his wife and two kids, and then he took their blood and painted his farm gate with their blood red.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Thus the name Redgate. But that's I don't know if that's true. That's more folklore. But that was a tale that we would tell kids camping all the time growing up.
I got it. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Above the Bar podcast. I'm going to go lock all my doors.
So I always wanted to do some kind of knockoff or something in the same realm of that true story. I didn't want to do the true story or the folklore. I don't know. It's probably not. I don't know if it's true or not, but I didn't want to do that exact same story, but do something in the same realm and call it Red Gigs. It's kind of based around that a little bit.
Well, I mean, Texas Chainsaw Massacre was based on a serial killer, but they didn't use him.
No. And the person that was based on Ed Gein, it was actually Wisconsin. There were no chainsaws.
Right. So, he did eat people.
Yes. That part. Yeah. The one leather face eating them and wearing skin and stuff. Yeah. That part was, was true, but yeah.
Yeah. It, I see. Now do you have, now see, this is such an American thing to say, but do you have a favorite serial killer?
It's hard for me to, I mean, I've always just been a Jason Voorhees fan. I just always have.
Okay.
Watching USA Up All Night, Friday 13th marathons and stuff. That's what really got me into horror, is probably Jason Voorhees so much. I just enjoy the Friday 13th movies a lot. They're just fun.
So you don't have like the real deal, like where some people like write letters to these serial killers or nothing like that. You don't have none of those kind of things.
No. But I did see the that movie a long time ago. I saw the movie. It was called Letters to Gacy. Do you ever watch that one?
Was it a documentary, or is that the one where like he looks like really legit?
It was the one he looks like really legit.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I watched that, and that was a creepy movie, to say the least.
No, I was just gonna say, if you wanted to really ruin your night or scare the living daylights out of a child, read them the story of Albert Fish, the gray man. Look, for those of you who couldn't see it, obviously our guest Patrick knows who Albert Fish is, because my man just cringed, rolled his back. He looked like he was doing that TikTok video where the girls keep arching their back trying to get a booty. Yeah. So you know who Albert Fish is?
Yeah, I've actually spent a good portion of my life studying serial killers. So Fish is just freaking nasty.
All right, so that's a whole nother thing. Why were you studying serial killers? And remind me, and I'll tell you, I've met the man with the largest serial killer memorabilia collection in the United States.
I don't know. It just kind of fascinated me. It was weird. When I was in junior high, we had the first report they wanted to do on they said a historical figure. It could be celebrity. It could be anybody you wanted to do. The challenge was to do a biography on a celebrity or whatever. So I decided to venture at the end of the day, do my biography on Ted Bundy. yeah, it was just interesting. So I guess I was interested in the psychology behind it. What would make a person do those things? You know? Right. So yeah, but Ted Bundy, he's I won't say he's my favorite. I don't say I like serial killer. That's kind of dark.
Do you have the serial killer trading cards? Yeah. Like, that's a thing, folks. If you didn't know it, you can go out. They have serial killer trading cards. This is like, I don't know what's wrong with us as a people, but you can get you some serial killer trading cards. It is so disturbing. I don't even know how else to put that one.
Gosh. I've never heard of that before. Actually,
you've never. Oh yeah, yeah. Those are a thing, folks. If for those of you that are out there listening to us right now, if you have any questions, have any comments, interested in anything, please, you're welcome to go ahead and put up the messages. I'm wondering where Jeanette is. She's normally here by now. She's super fan Jeanette, but she was getting her hair cut. She posted a picture on Facebook, so we'll have to say she would have had some. So she's from overseas. She's from England. Mm-hmm. Which is where they had Netflix just did a great film, The Yorkshire Ripper. There's Big Tim is back. I haven't seen Tim in like forever. He's digging. Look at you like the Hawaiian shirt. It's I've decided to see how good my wife. I love my bride. She always gets me good shirts. This is the current one. Is for those of you who aren't watching the live, we've got a nice blue Hawaiian shirt with pink flamingos and big green, bright green trees. I love it. I used to actually. Do you remember when Converse were real big back in the late 80s, early 90s?
Yeah, yeah.
The Chuck Taylors?
Yeah, yeah.
I had a pair of Chuck Taylors I cannot find anymore that were red with pink flamingos and green palm trees, and they were Chuck Taylors. Wow. I would love to know where those things are at. They're probably worth $1 billion in the shoe world.
I can only imagine what those look like today.
Bill's digging it right now. So you said that you've been working on the film. Mm-hmm. Is it going to, now you guys have like and it's funny that Tim would send me these stickers. Maybe you two set this shit up and I didn't realize it. what's up, John? you guys have like a local film festival in Missoula.
Yeah, there is one. Usually they don't let people like me in there, but I know of it.
What is it? What are people like you? What does that even mean?
These see, because I like horror films and I like these different types of films, these film festivals like in Missoula or even like Bozeman's a good place also. I've seen it. They're always like these super artsy fartsy, just I could submit. They're not, it has to be some National Geographic production or something in Montana. It's just kind of like
I think you should submit. I'll send Tim a message. It won't mean anything, but I'll send him a message and he can campaign for you.
Well, there you go.
Like, he did the most Montana thing I've ever heard in my life, though. The most Montana thing. Now, I have family in Billings.
Mm-hmm.
5 minutes into the show, I'm like, so what's going on, Tim? Oh, nothing. I was like, what's happening? He goes, can't be out too long. I've got a goose in the oven. I'm like, what? Like, I thought he was joking because he's a comedian. No, he was legit. He had a physical goose in the oven that they were cooking for dinner. I was like, wow.
Wow. that's funny.
Yeah, I was completely blown away by this fact that the man had a goose in the oven. So we're in post-production. About how long, like, where, if I wanted to watch this, where am I going to find it?
So my kind of my strategy was, because my fifth film, I've done so many films where it's like I work so hard on getting the production finished and everything else.
you want to go ahead and read that?
Yeah,
you want to read that?
Yeah, calling here from Tim Sokol. Is your guest in the basement of a torture room? Can we see the person he has duct taped in the background?
And Tim was late to the show, folks. Tim was late today. Tim, I've already asked that same exact question. But go ahead, please. So we're in post-production. I'm sorry, that shit was just too funny. But go ahead.
Yeah. We're in post-production, and what happened originally is I had these actors and actresses. They were kind of living in Missoula at the time due to COVID. And then they moved to New York, and they were supposed to do the post-production audio because it was all post-production audio for their vocals and everything. And they got, I don't know, we barely even started doing, and they were sending me their vocals from New York, and they just suddenly out of nowhere just quit.
Just fuck this.
Yeah, I was like,
if he can't be in the Missoula Film Festival, we're not into this.
Yeah, so it's like they did all the work for the actual film, went up in the hills. The film process is crazy. And they just said, screw this shit, we're done, or whatever. So I had to kind of go back and find people, some vocal people to fill in and just do all the vocals for those actors and actresses for the entire film. So that kind of set me back a little bit.
Just a tad? That's yeah. So they were quarantined in – now what – obviously I don't know where – I know where Billings is, and I know where Missoula is only because of Tim. And yeah. So where – like, what is the name of the town in Montana you're in?
The name I'm in. So you go from Missoula. It's about 70 miles east of Missoula, and it's called Deer Lodge.
Deer Lodge. And there's a horror story about Redgate in Deer Lodge. Yeah. It just sounds like it belongs there.
Yeah. And Deer Lodge is, yeah, it's where they've had the state prison here since like forever.
Oh, it just keeps getting better. Keep going. Yeah. I don't have shit to say. You just keep going, Patrick. I'm loving it all.
So, yeah, part of people around town will say that the town's a little bit cursed because there's just bizarre shit that happens all the time. Some guy will get up out of nowhere and just murder his wife for no reason whatsoever. And you're like, what the fuck was that about? And there was this rumor, and I don't know if it's true or not, that and this is the film kind of goes into this at the beginning of the storytelling and stuff, but there's a rumor that there's a tribe of people there. They're like half Native American, half like European, and they lived in here before. And basically the rumor was that these people came in and they slaughtered them, massacred them, and then buried them under the town is what the rumor was. So the town's haunted by this mass Indian burial that supposedly happened. So
yeah, you got some Clint Eastwood, you know, everyone's going to die kind of shit going on.
Yeah.
So once this film is done in the next 15 years, and after all the curses and the vocals, and you finally get out of jail for whoever you've got in the basement, duct taped, as Tim said. Where are we going to be able to find this thing?
So my hope is, when I was kind of going with there, is when I started doing producing, I decided to kind of take my time doing the post-production. I wanted to market it with my YouTube channel as long as I was doing the post-production, try to get as much awareness about it as possible. And so by the time it's finished, I have at least some contacts or something, there's some awareness about it. So my ultimate goal is hopefully to get a deal, say, with like Netflix or streaming service, something like that, then also maybe get a limited theater release. It's hard to project. The distribution part of it is such a bitch. It's hard to really be like, oh yeah, well, Warner Brothers is going to sign this tomorrow and put it out to everybody. So the distribution part's hard to figure out.
So you're hoping for a Blair Witch moment.
Yeah, something like that, because the film's not quite like the Blair Witch, but it has kind of like the same token type value to it. But my ultimate goal is to have it in some distribution platform or form by this fall is my biggest goals to have.
Well, that would be awesome. So please, whenever it finally does, make sure you post it on the Above the Bar podcast page so we can all find it. And you do this with you've mentioned your brother before. What's his name? Kevin, Keith, what was it?
Kelly.
I knew I heard a kuh sound.
Yeah, he's actually on a honeymoon right now in Florida, so he's not here tonight.
So he's down getting COVID.
He's back to Montana.
Right, congratulations. We all know where the hot spot, how Deer Lodge, Montana became the hot spot of the entire state. Kelly Cutler, thanks. Appreciate it, man. You hooked everybody up. Somebody was telling me, my barber was telling me today that I guess they've got the Brazilian COVID in Florida now. So, wait a sec. See, our Jeanette is back. She says she has a theory that people who hang only blue Christmas lights on their front porch have a torture basement in their house. Jeanette, some point I'm going to get you on the show and we're going to talk. And because you have so many things. I needed to talk to you. So here comes our first left turn. You ready for our first left turn?
Sure.
Did you know, how you get your car insurance? And you can get like roadside on it, like you lock your keys in or some shit like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Did you know every time you call those people, they make it a claim against your insurance, like if it was in a car accident or something?
Really?
Yeah.
I had no clue about that.
Yeah, and that sounds like some sneaky ass shit.
That sounds freaking stupid. Oh my God.
They're like, oh, that $2 that for roadside, don't worry about it. And you're like, well, $2, it ain't shit. $2 a month. If I got to get a tow, that shit's expensive.
Yeah.
I just learned this. Jeanette's going to send me all kinds of messages in a minute. She's an insurance agent and she's going to send me all kinds of messages. I just learned this. I was like, ain't this some shit? The woman, I was looking at car insurance. The woman goes, yeah, you could have saved like $300 a year if you didn't like use your roadside. I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, get AAA. Everybody loves our Jeanette. So
yeah.
So we have this. So I'm actually really curious. So your first movie was a horror movie. This movie's a horror movie. You did some comedies in between. What about the horror genre? Obviously you were into it because you just also said your first book report was Ted Bundy. I don't know who let a third grader do Ted Bundy as a book report, but I mean, I've got a, hey, but what got you into the horror? Like for you, what's your horror genre? What's your, like, this is my shit for horror movies. Cause I got some horror movie questions for you.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, a horror, just as a filmmaker, I've kind of developed over the years to different tastes and things like that. And that's kind of with my horror films too. I really like the old school Jason Voorhees films when they were going. Even as a kid, I could see though they were a little bit corny at times. But these days, man, I really like the psychological thriller type horror films anymore. The twist. I really liked stuff like kind of like the Saw series. I'll watch every single Saw film.
Really?
Yeah, I really like the Saw series. I'm not really totally into these big little scares along the way, like boom out of nowhere, and it just, the whole movie's just a little fake scare the entire time. I really like the psychological thriller type ones. There's one I watched a couple months back. It was on Amazon. I think it's still on there. It's called Vivarium. You heard of that one?
No.
It's what is it's that not about? It's not quite a horror film, but it's a psychological thriller with some horror type properties to it. They go to this town where the house looks all the same, look at these houses, and then they just get stuck in this town. It's like this endless town that never ends. They can't ever escape this town, and they're just trapped there. And then they give them this little kid to take care of, and it's just psychologically, it's just so freaking bizarre. It's like, this doesn't make any sense.
Just psychologically being shit all over. So, yeah. So Tim's got a question for you. He wants to know, what was your inspiration for Mad Dad? Any personal bits or pieces taken from your real life experiences?
Yeah, actually, that's very true. Mad Dad, it's about an abusive father, and we turn it into like a dark comedy. It's pretty funny if you get the humor in it. Anyways, when I was a kid, I had friends where it's like I had this dad, this kid's dad that I used to hang out with, and we had sleepovers, and he would just be like normal one moment, and then the next moment he would just be freaking the hell out, like just screaming and yelling and just acting just crazy. So I was like, the entire film of Mad Dad is actually based on this kid's dad.
Does he know his dad is the inspiration?
No, because I haven't talked to him really since like high school. So
does now.
Yeah,
does now.
He does now. Yeah.
Because I'm big in Montana.
Yeah. But I took Mad Dad to the extreme where he goes from freaking out to he basically turns into a serial killer like halfway through the movie. It's pretty funny.
He's a serial killer. It's hilarious. bring your kids. I have my genre. I am a big George R. Romero fan.
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't know, George R. Romero created the zombie genre. That is the original Night of the Living Dead, in the house, you know, as the zombies are beating on the door. Most important question I can ask you, this will determine whether or not I kick you off of my show right now, Patrick. Do zombies run?
I never really thought they did, to tell you the truth. That,
zombies do not run. They cannot run. George R. Romero himself, after the remake of Dawn of the Dead, that was another, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's James Gunn also. And there's a whole thing. I have issues with James Gunn.
Mm-hmm.
But zombies do not run. Do you have like, so I know you said you like the Jason Voorhees series. And for those who don't know, that's Friday the 13th. So is it the slasher? Like you say now it's the psychological, but it, like if you, what's your go-to? Is it still the slasher or is it really the psychological? Because I can tell you which one. My next question for you is, which ones can't you watch? Like they scare the bejeebers out of you.
It's more the psychological. I mean, I'll always watch a really good slasher film occasionally. It depends on the story of it. Like the Strangers, it was a little psychological too. The Strangers, because it just didn't make any sense. Like the freaking Purge. There's a lot.
That's another one.
Yeah.
Look. There's so many bitches around that are like, I wish we could purge. We could purge. It's like, you would be locked in your basement with everyone else talking about, like, I ain't going outside. Do you know how nice people would be to each other if you could purge?
Oh, they'd be super nice.
Like, the level of kindness would just be like, I love everyone. Tim says, Slaughterhouse is an oldie but a goodie with Buddy the Butcher.
Oh, yeah.
Phantasm. Did you ever watch Phantasm?
I got around to watching the first one several years back. It was very creative, very different film.
With the little glass balls and the things that would come out. I was always, even up to Hellraiser 4. Have you ever watched Hellraiser 4?
I have. I can't remember, but I have.
That's the one where like they're in the, it's like the 90s and they're in the club and they turn the DJ into like CD head and like he's got the CD stuck in his head and he's a monster. Yeah. Like it was so great. I mean, there's no good ones. like that anymore. Yeah. Now they rely so much on the fact that there's nothing you can see.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. They don't show anything. And when they do, it's all CGI sometimes.
Right. Like, is it Insidious? Is it the Insidious series? What's that series where they made like three or four of them, and then you finally find out towards the end it was like a demon that was that was possessing this family?
Is it there's Insidious, and then there's the one they're making a new one right now. The Conjuring.
Maybe it was The Conjuring.
Yeah,
like the first movie. There's actually a scene in the movie, where it's nothing but looking at a room from the balcony for like 5 minutes. And the whole time you're like, the pucker factor is in. Your asshole is like,
yeah.
And you're watching and nothing happens. I'm like, y'all got me. Is there anything I can expect in Redgate like this?
So that's the big thing with Redgate is, There is that factor of you're just kind of waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. But I would say it's similar if you like a Tarantino, some of his films, like the Hateful Eight, you know, it happens eventually. And when it happens, it's pretty brutal. When it finally does happen, it's just like, what, it doesn't even make sense. It doesn't, like, you're like, whoa, what the fuck is going on there? So there is a little bit of that where you're kind of waiting for something to happen. You don't know what's going to happen, but it has a weird... It has a very weird feeling to it. You know how you have that claustrophobic feeling? This one has, because you're in this big, wide-open space in these lakes in the middle of nowhere, way up in the mountains, and you're just wide-open spaces. It just kind of has that eerie feeling to it. And the cool thing was there were forest fires going on at the time in, like, Montana and stuff. I'm not cool, but...
We really got to discuss your idea of what cool is for a minute here, Patrick. Patrick, you have told me that in third grade... You did a serial killer report on Ted Bundy. Your brother is in Florida right now, bringing COVID back to Montana. And you just called forest fires cool. What's going on over there?
Well, what happened was it turned the sky completely gray. So it made for perfect shooting conditions.
See, what have happened was, that's too funny. Like, oh man. Yeah, this is like, we really got to talk to you about what we're calling cool and what we're not, man. So you guys, but now you do a podcast also from there. Now that you've explained to me what is what the deal was there, that Deer Lodge, Montana has had a prison in it forever. So that makes sense. Your podcast is the Prison City Podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, what are we getting into this? Is it like each morning you're telling us what the lunch menu is at the public school? What are we getting into here?
So the main gist of it is just kind of like four friends that grew up in this prison city in Montana, and kind of recollecting. Part of it's kind of recollecting our experiences. That part of it is talking about the prison itself. Because we have a lot of prison stories. Because when you live in a prison town, you get a lot of prison stories. but it's a bulk of us, you know, like a bunch of friends, grew up in a prison town, talking about like a lot of mainstream type trending stories and things like that. Like we're talking about COVID and QAnon and cult and just random stuff like that is most of the episodes.
So it's just, you know, it's more just what's going on locally, what's happening right there in your backyard.
Yeah, and how we react to other things that are going on there. But we've done films that are more directed at local events and stuff like that. And then we've done ones where it's like last week we talked about, had a guest on, we talked about aliens the entire time. So are they real or not? And we went off on that for like a whole. Yeah.
Hold on. So where do you stand on it? I got to know now.
Well, I mean, the statistically, the possibility that we are the only intelligent life form in the entire universe is so low, you know, but it's saying we haven't had any full proof to actually show it. It's a weird debate, because I think it's kind of like the I can't remember what the actual term was for it, but it was kind of, the statement was like, you know, where are they? because, you know, we've been here forever. We haven't seen them from different planets or anything. So it's kind of like that where, yeah, I have to believe to some extent aliens exist, but you just don't know why we haven't seen them really.
So I'm going to offer you up when we get done here. A buddy of mine, Nathan, who runs an amazing, well, first off, he's horrible at fantasy football. He's horrible at it. And hopefully he's still listening. He just sent me a message. He's not very good at it, but he is amazing at putting together, the flock. It's a Baltimore Ravens deal. And he just sent me a message. He said, make sure you get me in contact with Patrick. He can help you to get a bigger audience for your film.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, that's legit, man. He just sent me a message. He's like, at first I thought he was talking about another friend of ours, Patrick. He was like, can you put me? He's like, no, the guest that you have on right now. So already he's already liking what he's hearing. Somebody's liking it.
Oh, good. That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, it's always my hope is coming on these podcasts, get some connections. But yeah, I definitely like to talk to them because the distribution route is, yeah, the hardest part of it to crack so far for me.
Oh, yeah, that's a whole thing in of itself. So I'm just sitting here and I'm just thinking to myself, like, I don't know if I could ever, like, do the whole thing. Like you refer to yourself, as I was looking up some stuff, as the king of the king of community theater.
Yeah.
So how long have you been doing that piece?
We've been doing it for a while. That's kind of like my profile slogan or whatever. It's my brother's been more in the theater than I have, but it's kind of like that niche of community theater. We've been doing it, geez, since I mean early 2000s, but around 2004, we actually formed our own theater company. So we've had our own theater company like the last 17 years. We've been doing it probably about 20 years or so. It's interesting. It's fun. Have you ever done community theater?
Nope, but my kids have. My kids have done church theater. They did like Shrek and Seussical the Musical and stuff like that. But I was trying to get a guest host. Because as soon as I saw the community theater thing, a few of us, we have a good buddy of ours, Dave Kionis. Dave's kind of like local celebrity-ish. So he's like 80-some thousand followers on TikTok, but he's got he's done local commercials.
Oh, okay.
So, but he does a lot of community theater.
Okay.
So I was trying to get him on because like there's no acting here. This is who I am.
But it's we've kind of progressed though from community to where we get a lot of professionals that work with us, but we still pull a lot of people from the community. It's kind of interesting though. If you get enough people from the community that work with you for a long enough time, some of the professional actors are just as good as the community actors. It's you can't even
really
tell. Yeah, it's kind of weird. Like we did Romeo and Juliet last year, and one of the girls is just like a local actress, much younger, way outperformed the professional we had coming in from Missoula. So I was kind of surprised.
Listen to me. When I hear things like fucking had a professional come in, wasn't from LA, wasn't from Paris, Missoula. We went big time, Missoula. It's perspective for you. Like Missoula is a big city.
Mm-hmm.
There's like what, probably 100, 150 people there.
Yeah, we've also had people from like New York or whatever. She was actually they were actually technically in New York at the, before they came down. But yeah, it's we sometimes get professionals from. They have a theater program there, University of Montana. So, but it's basically you define professional simply by saying you pay them money to be in your shows. That's basically the basic definition. That's what I mean by the word professional. I don't mean like that's like, what I mean by the word.
Like I'm thinking like, damn, I was waiting for you to be like, yeah, we had the guy who was the third red shirt from the seventh season of Star Trek. He was on. He was okay.
So we got Tim. Comment there. I won't fall asleep tonight thinking about Patrick's laugh when he talked about how funny Mad Dad turned into a killer. And strangely, I really like this dude.
Oh, look, I can tell you right now, Patrick, if you were out our way on the right coast, you'd have a blast. We'd have you running around already. We'd have this thing all over the place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, it'd be freaking sweet.
We'll have to find a. I mean, are you allowed out of the state?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Montana's pretty lax. I was actually in Alaska when COVID started to hit.
What was that like?
Oh, well, I got on a plane and left, but.
Like you have a very infectious laugh, bro. Like I'm just sitting here, I'm just trying to find ways to just keep you giggling. That's really, you know, for those of y'all that can't see it, and he has a velour tracksuit on. For those of you that can't tell,
let me put this up a little bit higher.
Oh, look at that! And it's a Knicks one. I guess he figured because I was in Albany, New York, he'd have to wear a Knicks hoodie from. Starter jacket from 1992. It's so great. Patrick, this is amazing. So now we finish this project. We finally get this out and about. What's coming next?
After Redgate?
Yes. No, after when you and I get off of here right now.
Oh.
No, Redgate. What's after Redgate?
Hopefully Redgate 2.
What is it going to be? Redgate 2, the whitewash? Like,
yeah. Here's my goal is, honestly, because horror series are so popular. Like, once you do one horror film, they're always like, do another. So my goal, I'm already planning in my head, is once we release Redgate, it's kind of like it shows the whole story's shows it from the people that get slaughtered's point of view, just like any horror film usually does. I want to do a sequel to Redgate and show it from like the killer's perspective or the bad guy, the evil force perspective, and make that like the second film, but like a lot different than the first. That'd be my goal.
So you want the second film to be different from the first?
Yeah, I want it to be radically different, like a totally different film. Like the first one, man, we were up in the middle of these freaking lakes in the hills for over a freaking week. And it was so freaking rough, just running around. You can only get like a four-wheeler up there. And it was windy. And it was just like, I want to bring it back into town and be like a lot more comfortable filming and everything and just be able to sleep in my own bed.
I can respect that, but I like the idea of that. It's almost like I'm a big Walking Dead fan. I told you, I love the zombie genre. You mm-hmm. can get me, you know, into a zombie genre, World War Z, Z Nation, Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead. I even watched that really bad Walking Dead where they had the family, like the kids going cross country. I can't even think of the name of it. It was really bad. I still watch it. It's zombies. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
But there's always the talk of if Negan would have been introduced first, Rick would have been the villain.
Oh, geez. I never even thought about that, really.
Oh, you think about it. Like, did you watch Walking Dead?
Yeah, I'm probably the latest one that's on AMC right now. I'm probably several episodes behind, but I've watched almost all of it. Yeah.
Do you watch Fear?
Fear, I haven't watched any of the Fear of the Walking Dead.
Oh, you're missing it. What's your problem, Robert? Robert was in the army. We go slow with him. But now you got to check out Fear because that's where Morgan's at now. That's where Dwayne's at now.
Okay.
Oh, it's so good. But that's the kind of the concept. If you're watching the regular one, if you really think about what Negan created, if Negan had started the series with him and the saviors, how would you feel about Rick destroying all them?
Well, yeah, that's the whole thing. And I thought about that. I went back and everybody, I love Negan because he literally got people to quit his show because they're so heartbroken over the people he killed. I love that. How people, they got out that first episode when they came back from when Negan showed up and he just slaughtered those people. I thought that was freaking awesome that people got so offended by it. But I went back and you think, you're like, yeah, well, they broke into their facility and killed all those people. And it's
there
like,
you go.
They weren't exactly innocent of all this stuff. Negan honestly showed some restraint there by not killing all of them.
That's it. See, I mean, that's a different way. Like, you see it. So Rob, there's a whole thing that Rick is coming back in the movies. He's not dead. Spoiler alert. They only announced that shit seasons ago. Rick's not dead.
I heard that a lot too. Yeah.
Like, so there's a whole thing, but, I've actually met, Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Have you?
Jeffrey Dean Morgan. I met him. He is about 7'12", as big around as a pipe cleaner, dresses like a homeless man, and is one of the nicest people I've ever met.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Super nice guy. Like super, super nice guy. Like, yeah, super nice. Yeah. Very tall though. Very tall, very thin.
That's interesting. Yeah. He seems like a nice guy off of camera. He just plays some pretty bad characters in some of the films he does.
But see, I'm also a big fan. If you want somebody for your next film, can we get either Timothy Oliphant or Garrett Dillahunt?
We could. I mean, who knows?
Do you know who they are?
I know Timothy. I know the name. I don't know if I know the sec.
Justified.
Justified.
The Crazies.
Oh yeah. He's really good. Wasn't he? In the Girl and then Next Garrett Door.
Garrett Dillahunt's in Fear of the Walking Dead. He plays John, and he's also Hand of God. You ever watch that?
Is that that's
Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah. I really like that show. That was really good.
Yeah, he was the guy that he got to do all the killings. That was Garrett Dillahunt.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was a good show. I really liked that show. That was really fun.
Look, for an audio medium, I wish folks, you need to come back and find the video, because Patrick's reactions to everything are the best. He's just happy smiling. Like, he's fighting himself right now to not smile. And as I say it, I can see him trying not to smile, but he's smiling larger. It's hard, isn't it? That's my mind game. See, I just did psychological warfare on you. Like a horror film.
Yeah.
Did it work? Oh, this is so great. So we've got the movies. We've got the podcast. We got the stage production, and that's CutlerBrothers.com. We can find all this on, right?
Yeah. CutlerBrothers.com. You can find all of that stuff on.
And after we get done this one, we're working on the sequel. We want to put a sequel together. Tim, let me answer this one for you. Do you want to answer this one, Patrick? You answer this one. Answer this question.
Yeah. Tim, why are murders so difficult to solve in Baltimore? I'd say because they're the home of the Ravens, and I'm a diehard Steelers fan.
Steelers. Yeah, right, Tim. All the DNA matches and there's no dental records. Look, I'll give you that there's no dental records. That's a whole nother subject. Tim lives way up in the north country of the Adirondacks Mountains, where people have uncle dads and shit like that. So don't let him. I'm not listening to him. Okay. You're a steel. How the hell do you end up as a Steelers fan?
Well, I grew up a Pirates fan when I was a kid, and by the mid-90s, they were so terrible. My dad was a head football coach. I started watching football. I just wanted to root for a team that was similar to the Pirates, and the Steelers had the same colors, same town, everything. So I was like, I just latched onto the Steelers.
So your dad was the head football coach at your high school or something? Or
Yeah, in town, in Deer Lodge.
Did you play football?
Oh, yeah.
How tall are you? You seem like you're a big old boy.
Oh, about 6 feet.
Oh, you ain't that big.
No.
I'm not. I've mentioned this before. My oldest cousin, he's got one boy that plays for the Buffalo Bills and another one that just transferred from UCLA? Yeah, no, USC to Arizona.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm the smallest one in the entire family. That's why I had to join the Marine Corps. Oh, got to be able to keep up with the rest of them.
Yeah, that's got to be rough. Yeah.
So we're gonna start getting this one tidied up a little bit, because you said you're getting ready to record tonight.
Oh yeah, a little bit. Whenever.
Whenever, like, do you guys record live?
We don't record live. So what we do, we do like a Zoom recording or whatever, and then we release it like the next day.
Okay. All right. Anything else?
No, that was about it. I do some post-production editing on it and throw some things in. That's kind of what we do right now.
Is marijuana legal in Montana?
Yeah, they just legalized it in that the last election, actually.
So recreational is legal there.
Yeah, and for a while Montana's kind of been like Alaska, where it's been like it's like they haven't really pursued it, I would say, very much. So if you're doing it, the cops aren't going to try to bust down like marijuana houses or whatever. Meth is the big one in Montana that's hugely out of control. I don't know how bad it is these days, but meth has ran wild a lot in Montana.
I got a good story for you that will be so off the podcast. I cannot tell it. I refuse to air that laundry out here live. Not today, Satan. Not today.
Not today.
All righty, folks. Well, we're going to get ready to put a bow on this. It's a little bit of a shorter one. Like, I wanted to go a little longer with you, but I don't know. Like, we nailed the movie. I don't know what to say to a Steelers fan. I try to talk slowly. I don't want the show to go too long. I'm normally doing well over an hour, but with a Steelers fan, it's much more difficult to do a show.
Yeah, I imagine. You know, well, at least I'll say this. When Baltimore plays either the Patriots or the Broncos, I'm a diehard Baltimore Ravens fan.
Oh, look at that. Like, are you even allowed to do that? Like, you're an anti-Bronco. Like, why the Broncos?
Well, I grew up.
I respect it because John Elway's a scumhole.
Yeah.
Like, he'll never know this, hear it, but as a Baltimore fan, go watch the 83 draft, the documentary on 30 on 30. If you ever get a chance to watch that, you will learn why John Elway is a scumhole.
Mm-hmm.
You ever watch that?
I think I don't recall all of it, but I did. I think I watched it a while back. But yeah, basically in Montana, the Steelers are in the AFC, Broncos in the AFC. In Montana, they just shoved Denver Broncos crap down your throat the entire time, 24/7. Everybody's a Broncos fan because the Broncos had John Elway. And John Elway and the Broncos, the Steelers could never get past them in the playoffs. I just always hated Denver. Always hated Denver.
Elway. Yeah, if you ever get a chance to watch that documentary, folks, about the 83 draft, where you just had, you know, some of the, you know, the greatest quarterbacks to ever play in the NFL are in that 83 draft. You know, you start looking at that thing. That was just an amazing year.
Yeah.
But Elway, and for those who don't know it, Elway was the first one that I remember that said, well, if you draft me, I'll go play baseball. And he was going to go be a pitcher for the Yankees.
Yeah.
It was all set. George Steinbrenner had it all situated. Because Baltimore was like, well, we're drafting you whether you like it or not. You're the best quarterback in the draft at the time. We're drafting you. And he was like, nope. And his dad, what did his dad coach at? His dad was a coach.
I can't remember where he coached at.
Like, his dad was like a big time college coach and was a real weenie. Mm-hmm. And was like, nope, not my boy. We're going to prance away. And then you had your boy from Pittsburgh, Dan Marino.
Oh, geez. Don't remind me of that one.
But he was a, you know, his dad was a coach also. And Dan was like, I don't care. I'll play anywhere. He was, you know, he was a Steel City guy.
Yeah, I still can't believe they passed on him. I'm still disappointed.
But really, was it a bad choice? Let's ask yourself that.
At the time, it didn't seem like that. But the guy they got was a total bust. And obviously, Marino went off.
Who'd they end up getting that draft? Do you know?
It was like a defensive lineman or defensive end. And they thought he could replace Joe Green. And let's just say he only played like a couple games or something and got in a car wreck or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He was a total bust who he ended up getting. It was probably it's probably the worst draft gaffe in Pittsburgh history because they just totally missed. Yeah.
Well, you know why Marino isn't the greatest quarterback to play out of Florida though, right?
Yeah.
You know who the best quarterback, you know, it was, right?
Who?
Trent Dilfer.
You think so?
You know why, right?
Why?
How many rings does Marino have?
The ring kit. One.
Trent Dilfer got a ring, folks. If you don't know who Trent Dilfer was, he played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and tried to make them worthwhile. He now works. I don't know if he's on like the NFL Network or one of them, with his little tiny bald head. He played for the Baltimore Ravens when they won their first Super Bowl, and he did the best thing he could do. Just not lose the ball.
Yeah. That Ravens defense was freaking ridiculous that year. That was one of the best ever.
You know, it always comes down to 85 Bears or 2000 Ravens for the best defenses ever.
Yeah. That's great. And then you guys got Gerbach next the following year, which I didn't understand that because Gerbach was terrible no matter wherever he went.
Well, he had good numbers in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Elvis Gerbach. Like, I remember when we got him, everybody's like, this guy's amazing. He's going to be like, did you see his numbers? And he was so horrible. I don't know if you know this. You probably don't if you're not like a big Baltimore fan. Our first coach ever, we actually have two interesting records. So our first coach ever was also our last coach ever.
Oh,
so
really?
Or let me correct that. Our first coach was our best coach ever under the Baltimore Colts, Ted Marchibroda. Mm-hmm. Ted coached the Baltimore Ravens for their first two seasons. And it was more of like, hey, good to have you. High five. We appreciate you. You know, we'll wheel you out of here in a little bit. Don't worry about it, Ted.
Yeah.
You know, he was like, he could have been like 950 years old at the time, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
But do you remember Vinny Testaverde?
Yes.
Vinny Testaverde has a great record against Baltimore. He was our quarterback also. He's the only quarterback to ever throw for and throw against the same team for over 500 yards.
Oh, really? I didn't know much about him in Baltimore. I just followed him when he went with the Jets and played really good with the Jets.
Well, that was where he was drafted out of, was the Jets.
Okay.
So he played for the Jets forever, and then he was in Baltimore. So when he was a Jet, he threw against Baltimore for 500. And then when he was in Baltimore, he threw for 500.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
But that's an example of a guy. See, I can talk football all night long. Like Vinny Testaverde to me is the example of like your true, one of the last true old school, like he was every bit as tough as any one of his linemen.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Look at Jimmy Garoppolo. The guy's like a toothpick out there right now.
Look at that. Tim says you have an infectious laugh, fun conversation, and great perm.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you about this. Like what's going on with that hair, man?
It's 100%. I've always had 100% like natural curly hair, so it just kind of does whatever.
That's some tight curl right there.
Yeah.
If you grow it out, have you ever grown it out for like a baby fro?
Yeah. I tried growing it out recently, but it wasn't quite the same as when I was in high school. I used to grow it out a big afro in high school. Even in college, I did a big afro. I did grow it out for a year. Now I'm kind of growing it again.
Are you going to go for dreads?
I've never done plats? The dreads. Maybe one day I'll do the dreads. I've never done them before. But
I would like you to do plaits. If you do plaits, yes. That's the real flat braids, like real long flat braids.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. It's just, yeah. I mean, we're going to get you really like, we're going to hood you up. You'd be like the hoodest thing in Montana.
I look forward to it.
We'll make it happen. All right. So if we want to go and find you out here, Patrick, because we're going to tighten this thing up a little bit. We've got our banners running. We can obviously, we're going to all be looking for hashtag RedGateFilm, and we're going to make sure that Patrick's going to send that out to us. If you want to know any of the things that Patrick got going on, please check him out at Cutler Brothers, and that's Brothers BROS, and Cutler, CUTLERBROS.com. That's where we can find any of their theater productions. We can find Shakespeare in the Park, any of that stuff going on. And then we're all going to check out. We're all going to subscribe. We're going to 5-star. We're going to blow it up. We're going to make it look amazing. And if you do that for his podcast and you haven't done it for mine, I don't understand, because you're all listening. So remember, you got to go on, you subscribe, you hit 5 stars, we get popular, any of those things. It's always appreciated. We have the, and I love the name of it, the Prison City Podcast. Like, this sounds like at any moment you should be talking about carnal knowledge that like someone cried about afterwards.
Yeah, we've gone those routes a little bit too deep on some of those shows.
Why? Like, does everyone in your town work at the prison? Is that like the main job?
So there's actually two outlets. There's the prison in town, and then and a lot of people come from out of town to commute to work at the prison. And there's also we have one of the biggest. It used to be the biggest Louisiana. We used to have the biggest Louisiana Pacific sawmill. Now it got reowned. But we have a huge sawmill in town too, and that employs a ton of people also.
So I do staffing. So I'm just trying to figure out if I can, you know, move in over there and make any money, you know, find some people some jobs. Doesn't sound like it. If there's only two industries there, fuck that. All right. So as we get ready to tighten this thing up, any final words for everyone? Remember, don't log off. We're going to talk about it afterwards. I got to always remind everybody gets to hear. Like, this is the behind the scenes shit that I have to do with everybody. So as we get ready to tighten this thing on up here, Patrick, what are your final words for everybody?
Check out the Red Gate film. It finally comes out, and it's going to be a really interesting, bizarre horror film. It kind of comes from like a film noir type perspective. So it's kind of a little bit of a different take. Not a single shot of the film is anywhere but up in the hills, pretty much. So it's a very different horror film, and it's actually in the mountains, not just like the hills like the Jason movies. So it's way up in the mountains, wide open spaces, anything can happen. Evil force exists after all these tales of murder and people killing their kids and painting their gates red, and it's a very, very interesting movie. So check it out when it finally comes out. Thanks.
Yeah, and we didn't even get into the aliens. God. Alrighty, folks, be sure to push your stool in.
This has been an Earplug Podcast presentation. Found on earplugpodcast.com, iTunes, SoundCloud, and wherever your favorite podcasts are found.